Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be finishing up this chapter, and we're going to be expounding verses 22 through 26. Amen, amen. Let me get our screen situated right here. Give me a moment right here. Amen, amen. And so, my friends, I've entitled this evening's message, The Fruit of the Spirit. The Fruit of the Spirit. Praise God, praise God. So are you there at Galatians 5, 22 through 26? And here we go. And it reads, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, this is key right here, saints of God, let us also walk in the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise God, praise God. So, my friends, we're going to look at these verses. We're going to break it down. And we're just going to allow the Holy Ghost to have its way. Can I get an amen in the house? So let's look with starting with verse 22. Here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints? Paul's introduction of the word fruit is filled with meaning. By it, Paul conveyed the meaning of a full harvest of virtues. Praise God. Fruit is a byproduct. It takes time to grow and requires care and cultivation. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the Spirit produces the fruit as well. And our job is to get in tune with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, my friends, believers exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, not because they work at it, but simply because the Holy Spirit controls their lives. Can I get an amen? You see, I've always said it best. If you're in love with Jesus, it is easier to walk in the Spirit so that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you're looking at it as do's and don'ts, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. You see, my friends, the fruit of the Spirit separates Christians from a godless, evil world and reveals a power within them and helps them become more Christ-like in their daily lives. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, in contrast to the list it follows, Paul did not describe these characteristics as obvious. No, the previous ones reside in us. And the following ones come as a result of the Spirit's presence. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, again, the characteristics fall into categories. The first three are inward and can come from God alone. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this for a moment. Number one, love. Love as shown by Jesus. Jesus is the epitome of love. Can I get amen? You see, saints, his love is self-sacrificing and unchanging and as demonstrated by God who sent his son for all of us sinners. Praise God. Praise God. Paul wrote to the Roman church and described it best like this. Look at this. Now, hope does not disappoint Because the love of God, I need you to catch this, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise God, saints. Praise God. You see, my friends, love forms the foundation for all the other fruit listed. And elsewhere, Paul breaks love itself down into various components so that love turns out to bear little resemblance to the emotional meaning so often given to the word. Praise God, praise God. Now, my friends, let's look what also he wrote in the Corinthians, to the Corinthians. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, look at this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Praise God, praise God. Look at this in verse 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Look at this. But rejoices in the truth. There is the key right there, saints of God. When you hear truth, you should be rejoicing. Praise God. Verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And lastly, verse 8, love never fails. Praise God, praise God. So, let's look at the second point, joy. Joy, an inner rejoicing that abides despite outer circumstances. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that, my friends? You see, this characteristic has little to do with happiness and can exist in times of unhappiness. Oh, yes. It is a deep and nourishing satisfaction, saints of God, that continues even when a life situation seems empty and unsatisfying. You see, my friends, the relationship with God through Christ remains even in the deserts and valleys of living. Praise God, praise God. Let's look at our third point right up here. Look at this. Peace. It's an inner quietness and trust in God's sovereignty and justice, even in the face of adverse circumstances. Wow, did you catch that? Because adverse circumstances will come. Oh, yes, they will. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4. Look at this. In Philippians 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say what? Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Say that with me at home. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your what? Requests be made known to God. Look at this in verse 7. And the peace of God. Say that with me at home. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Praise God. Praise God. See, saints, this is a profound agreement with the truth that God, not we, remains in charge of the universe. Praise God. So now we're going to look at the next three that concern each believer's relationship with others. Oh, yes, with others. Let's going to look at biblical point number 4. Look at this. Number 4, patience. How many of you have patience for one another? Oh, some of us can't even wait a minute. But look at this. Patiently putting up with people who continually irritate us. Wow. You see, my friends, the Holy Spirit's work in us increases our endurance. Praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, we'd be at each other's throat. Look what Paul wrote to the Colossians right here in Colossians chapter 1. Look at this. In 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Look at this. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord. Fully, here we go, pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Look at this. Strengthened with all might. Praise God. According to His glorious power. For all, here we go. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. Look at this, verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Let me just pause there for a moment, saints of God. We are partakers of the inheritance, meaning God has left us treasure beyond comprehension. What God has provided for us, no man has seen, no ears have heard, the things that God has prepared to those who love Him. Saints of God, we're almost going to be going home soon and very soon. This is why, yes, we live in this world, we work in this world, we got to plan things with our family, continue to love, continue to work, continue to worship and praise God. We get that. I understand that. Hallelujah. But we are to always look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Why? Because soon and very soon, He's coming back for us. And He's going to deliver us from this body of flesh. How many can't wait to be delivered from this body of flesh? Praise God. I can't. Why? Because God's going to eradicate all the diseases known to mankind. Praise God. God's going to allow this flesh to live forever. Hallelujah. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. Hallelujah. There'll be no more death and dying. Praise God. Praise God. We will live with the King forever and forever and forever. Praise God. Somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Why? Because He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus is worthy to be praised. Let's go back to this scripture right here. Look at this. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love. Look at this. Praise God. Praise God. And look, man, I'm telling you, we serve a mighty, mighty God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we're going to look at point number 5. Look at this. Kindness, acting charitably, very kindly toward others as God did toward us. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus was kind to us. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? Look at this. Look what Paul wrote to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Praise God. He gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent, saints of God. Oh, yes, He did. Many of us were knuckleheads. Many of us were castaways. Many of us, our families even ostracized us. But yet God saw something in you and I that we couldn't see. He saw that we would have a heart like David, that would love Him, that would bless Him, that would praise Him. All we needed was an opportunity to love. And God chose us to love Him. Praise God. And now that we are in love with Him, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Can I get an amen in the house? Someone give Him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, kindness takes the initiative and responding to other people's needs. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at our next point right up here. Number 6, goodness. Reaching out to do good to others, even if they what? Don't deserve it. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this, my friends. Let me just say this. You and I didn't deserve this great salvation. Can I get an amen? None of us deserved it. Many of us were stinking rotten. I'm telling you, wayward folks. Oh, now, there's some of you that are listening that were morally sound, but you were still sinners and you still needed salvation. You may not have ran with the gangs and did the drugs. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we're born again. That God has cleansed us and washed us. He gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. He washed us in His blood. And then He filled us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise God. Praise God. Look what King David wrote right here regarding goodness and kindness. Oh, that men, Psalm 107, look at this. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Look at this right here. In Romans 2 and 4. Or do you, look at this, despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Praise God. It was God's goodness. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, goodness does not react to evil, but absorbs the offense and responds with positive action. The last three biblical principles are more general in character and the traits that ought to guide a believer's life. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this right here. Let's look at this. Here we go. Faithfulness. Look at this. Reliable, trustworthy. How many of you can actually say that you're faithful? Faithful. Well, see, I love what King David wrote right here in Psalms 89, 1 through 4. I will sing the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. See, God is faithful. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 3 and 4. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Praise God. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne. Did you catch that? I've made a covenant with my chosen. Let me just pause there. You and I have been chosen and elected before the foundation of the world. Oh, that's right. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, he already knew us. He had a plan for us. He chose us out of billions and billions of people in the world. He chose you and he chose me. We didn't deserve it. But yet, he made a sovereign choice and he chose us. Praise God. Praise God. And so this is why it's so important that since he has chosen you and I, we need to complete this race. And I say it best like this, saints of God. He has given us that hunger inwardly through the power of the Holy Spirit to finish the race. Praise God. We couldn't finish this race on our own strength. I hope you know that. We couldn't do it with our own flesh. We're doing this plan that he has established for you and I before the foundation of the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. And you and I now are destined, hallelujah, for greatness in the kingdom of God. But here's the key. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will be the one to lift us up. Can I get amen? Walk with humility. Walk with grace and mercy. Walk like someone has truly forgiven you and has been merciful to you. We're going to look at point 8. Let's go here right now. Look at this, biblical point 8. Gentleness, humble, considerate of others, submissive to God and his word. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this for a moment, saints of God. This is awesome because we are to walk with gentleness. Praise God. How many believe that? How many believe that? We need to be considerate of others in his word. Well, look what the Bible says right here in Timothy. Look, let's go there right now. Let's look at this. In 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Look at this. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Praise God. Praise God. Fight the good fight of faith, saints of God. Listen. Even when anger is the appropriate response, as when Jesus cleared the temple, gentleness keeps the expression of anger headed in the right direction. Gentleness applies even force in the correct way. Oh, that's right. That's right. And so, my friends, let's look at number 9. Self-control. This is what everyone needs. Self-control. It's mastery over sinful human desires and their lack of restraint. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, my friend? And their lack of restraint. Look what Proverbs 25:28 reads. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Wow. Wow. See, this is why it's important to have self-control. You see, my friends, ironically, our sinful desires, which promise self-fulfillment and power, inevitably leads us to slavery. When we surrender, my friends, to the Holy Spirit, initially we feel as though, saints of God, we have lost control. But He leads us to exercise of self-control that would be impossible in our own strength. You and I cannot do this in our own strength, praise God. You see, my friends, God gave the law to make people aware of their sin and to restrain evil, praise God. But no one would make a law against these fruit, the virtues that we are learning tonight or studying tonight, for they are neither sinful nor evil. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, indeed, a society where all people acted thus would need very few laws at all. Because God, who sent the law, also sent the Spirit by the product of the Spirit-filled life to harmonize perfectly with the intent of God's law. Praise God. Praise God. So He didn't do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. And so we're walking side by side with the law. But the law cannot save us. Only Christ can. You see, my friends, a person who exhibits the fruit of the Spirit fulfills the law far better than a person who observes the rituals but has little love in his heart. You ever see people, you know, praise the Lord, God bless you. They go home, yell at the wife, yell at the husband, and kick the dog. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's folks like that. Why? Because there's no true love of Christ in them. It's all show. They're not truly born again. And there's folks like that. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, we have to be what? About our Father's business. Amen. So now, let's go back to our scripture, verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and what? Desires. Desires. You see, my friends, Paul made it clear. He made it clear that the sinful nature and the Holy Spirit oppose each other. You see, believers while receiving the Holy Spirit also have sinful desires within. Praise God. So how do believers gain the victory? That's a good question, isn't it? The answers lie in these last three verses. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, I'm talking about born-again believers, have victory over the sinful desires to the degree that they have crucified the passions and desires of their sinful nature. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, believers know that this does not mean our sinful nature really dies. It doesn't die. Life would be so much easier if it did. I know that. But this is why we're getting the new body. Can I get an amen in the house? Instead, my friends, our sinful human nature continues to persuade and seduce us. Like a real crucifixion, the death of our sinful human desires is slow and painful and lifelong. In many ways, my friends, our sinful human desires may need to be re-crucified daily. Can I get amen? But the picture conveyed by this crucifixion of the sinful nature shows us that God has broken the power of sin at work in our body. Praise God. Praise God. And that remains a fact even when it may not feel that way to us, saints of God. Oh, there are times where we feel downtrodden and beaten, but God is the lifter of our heads. Can I get amen? You see, my friends, we no longer live under sin's power or control. God does not take us out of the world or make us like robots. Can I get amen? We will still experience the temptation to sin, and sometimes we will sin. Oh, that's right. And before we were saved, my friends, we were slaves to our sinful desires. But now we can freely choose to live for Christ. Can I get an amen? Look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church on this. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Look at this. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Look what he also wrote further on in this chapter or in this book. Colossians 3, 9 through 11. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? You see, saints? But what happens when we sin? Well, Christ's death made forgiveness available to you and I. And as believers continue to repent of sin, they will always receive God's forgiveness. Can I get amen? All because of Christ's death on the cross, which he did on our behalf. Praise God. I love what 1 John says. If we have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father. That is Christ Jesus. Praise God. You see, my friends, we can experience victory over our sinful human desires because we are united with Christ in his death, having crucified that sinful nature. Praise God. Praise God. Our evil desires, our bondage, my friends, to sin, and our love of sin have been nailed to the cross. Praise God. And now united by faith. Hear me clearly. Now united by faith with him, we have unbroken fellowship with God and freedom from sin's hold on us. Praise God. Our conduct and attitudes change, and the fruit of the Spirit grows within us. Why? Because of what Christ did for us. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Are you catching this, my friends? Are you catching this? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise God. You see, saints, because it is the Holy Spirit who gives new life. Believers ought to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of their lives. Praise God. Apart from the working of the Holy Spirit, a person cannot please God. Can I get an amen? And when the Holy Spirit leads, believers must follow. Can I get an amen in the house? Since believers have been made alive by the Holy Spirit, he or she ought to direct the course of their lives. Praise God. Unless we actively pursue contact with the Holy Spirit and obey his leading, we will be unable to resist the passions and desires of this flesh. Wow. Wow. So, my friends, we're going to break down one last verse, verse 26. And it goes on to say, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, Paul understood the conflicts in the church. Oh, yes, he did. And this verse, my friends, seems like a last-minute addition to a section that could have easily ended with verse 25. Paul probably focused on particular problems in Galatia. Oh, yes. It's no different in churches around the United States or around the world today. You see, he explained that if they would follow the Holy Spirit's leading, step by step, they could solve any attitude problems in the church. Perhaps even living by the Spirit might be used by some as an occasion for pride. Saints, in closing out this chapter, the Apostle Paul mentioned three particular problems, and they are opposite of serving, and they remain three prevalent sins in the church today. Let's look at this. Number one, some were being conceited. They had an excessively favorable opinion of their own ability or importance. Oh yes, be careful for those in the church that think they're above everyone else. Oh yeah, that's just pride. You see, my friends, it could be that those who had not fallen prey to the Judaizers were acting this way, or those who had followed the Judaizers were acting conceited because they believed they were more spiritual. I love what my former pastor would say, spiritual. In any case, saints, conceit causes problems where it flourishes. Praise God. Let's look at the second point right here. Number two, Paul did not want them to irritate one another. They were causing annoyance and anger, the opposites of the virtues of the Holy Spirit that's desired. Wow. Wow, my friends. That's pretty serious what was taking place. You see, some people can't resist starting verbal fights in church. And so we got to be careful. We got to guard our heart. We got to lift each other up. We got to pray for one another. Can I get an amen? We have to understand that we were nobodies in this world. And God has saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. You and I must contend for the faith. We must know that you and I, the church, we were lost without a cause. And yet God found grace and mercy in our lives and is using us right now. So while God is using you and He's using me, we are to stay humble. Humble before the grace of God. Amen. Let's look at our third point right here. Finally, they were jealous of one another. They wanted to have what others had earned or achieved, whether recognition, status, money, or even spirituality. Wow, saints. Wow. You see, this could also do nothing more than divide the believers and ruin the church's unity in Christ. Don't give in to envy, my friends. Pride makes us perpetually vulnerable to temptation. And when Satan can't stop our spiritual growth, his tactic immediately changes to using people's pride. Oh, that's right. And as soon as we notice progress, we should expect pride to set in somehow. This will especially be true if we measure our growth against the progress of others that are making. We need to be careful, saints. Growth should cause not for pride, but for humility and thanksgiving because it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Saints of God, listen. We're a few days away from Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. Sunday evening at sunset, here in our local time, Pacific time, we're going to be blasting the shofars. I know I'll be at Maranatha Chapel that evening. We're going to blast them. And for 2 days, no one knows the day or the hour that he would possibly take us home. If this is not the feast he's taking us home, then we have another year to serve him with our whole heart. Praise God. Don't be upset if we don't go on this feast again. I look at it like, okay, Lord, there's still something for us to do. There's still souls to be saved. There's still healings to take place. And he wants to use you and me. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, my friends. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. And when he comes, he's coming in the clouds to take us home. Oh, that's right. You see, there are on the Feast of Trumpets, there's a ritual that they do every year. It's called the tekiah. And they blast the shofar in sequences of 3, 9, 14 times. It adds up to about 99 blasts. The 100th one, it's called the last trumpet. Where do we find that? We find it in the Word of God. In Thessalonians and Corinthians, the last trumpet. And so that gives us a key. That gives us insight. It's like this. If I said, hey, are you coming over for some gobble gobble this November? Are you coming over? Oh man, for some turkey and gravy? What am I referring to? I'm referring to Thanksgiving, huh? Oh, that's right. You see, that's an idiom. Well, God has a lot of these little idioms in the Word of God that point to the Jewish festivals. And this Feast of Trumpets that's coming up, possibly we could be going home with Him. Listen, Don't miss Sunday morning. I'm bringing a message entitled The Feast of Trumpets. And that evening will start on the Pacific West Coast time, 2-day feast. We can go in those next 2 days. But come this Sunday morning and listen. Listen intently and study and learn. And maybe, just maybe, you would give your heart to Christ if you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's only going to take those who are looking by faith for His return. Oh, that's right. Look what it says in Thessalonians right here, chapter 4. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, look at this, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, look at that, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Those are promises. We will always be with Him from that point on. I'm talking face to face, where we can actually touch Him and feel Him and hug Him and let Him know how much we love Him. Oh, that's right. Soon and very soon, it's coming. It's happening. Oh, that's right, my friends. So the next greatest event could happen this coming Sunday evening through Tuesday, these 2-day feasts. Oh, yes. Listen, my friends, the greatest event the world is ever going to see is us being snatched away. The Bible says, we just read, the dead in Christ will come out of their graves first and rise up, and then we will follow right behind them. Could it be instantly we're in the clouds, or will it be floating away for others to see? Well, that remains a mystery, doesn't it? Praise God. But we all know one thing, that we cannot go into the clouds with this body of flesh. It has to be changed. We have to have a body just like Christ. And how many of you are so blessed to know that when Jesus died and rose again, He rose on the third Jewish festival called the Feast of First Fruits. And He was the first to rise from the dead. We're going to talk all about this Sunday morning. Don't miss Sunday morning. But the greatest event is that last trump, the last trumpet sound. And we will be caught up to be with the Lord. That's right. And He's going to change these mortal bodies into immortal. Now, that's right. We're going to live forever. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more disease. There'll be no more sorrow and crying. No more hurt. Praise God. We will be in the presence of Almighty God in the fullness of joy. Praise God. I want you to look at this right here in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, as I just mentioned, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Did you catch that? Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. There it is, my friends. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. But listen, my friends, I want to take you back to verse 52. We just talked about this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Did you catch that? the last trumpet. Well, the last trumpet is what I just shared with you earlier. Our Jewish friends go through their rituals once a year on the Feast of Trumpets. They blow their shofars 99 times, and the 100th blast is called the last trumpet. That's the giveaway right there. So this is why many believe on the Feast of Trumpets, no one knows the day or the hour. Why is that mentioned? Because it's a two-day feast. We don't know which day, first day, second day, and we don't know the hour. Only God does. But we know the festival. Praise God. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Now listen. If you're not saved, you haven't repented of your sins, you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you haven't been filled by the Holy Spirit of promise, you will not go up into heaven to be with God when the rapture comes. You must be born again. You must give your heart to Christ. And so, if you are putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and say, yeah, well, maybe next year, maybe tomorrow, maybe Sunday I'll give my heart to Christ. Do not wait. Do not wait. And I'll tell you why. Because you do not want to be left behind. And if you haven't given your heart to Christ, don't let this happen to you, what you're about to see. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow, my friends, that's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Listen, it's very simple. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Cry out to God for mercy and grace. Ask God to forgive you for every sin that you've ever committed. Ask Him to wash you in His blood and to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And God is faithful. God is just. God will hear your cry regarding salvation. Oh, that's right. The very first sermon given to the Apostle Peter, written by the Apostle Luke in the book of Acts, is one of the foundational scriptures of this church and many others. Let's look what it's written. In Acts 2, 38 through 39, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized.'" Repent means turn. Make an about face. You're walking towards the course of this world. Turn your back to sin and to the world and turn to God. "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin." Remission means forgiveness of sins. God wants to forgive you of all your sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What is the gift? Eternal life. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. Wow, my friends. Isn't that something? Praise God. Praise God. Listen. Allow me to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that maybe, just maybe, you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And it's simple. It's one step toward God, not 12. All you need is one step of faith toward God. And He will do the miraculous. The miraculous. in your life? Oh, yes, He will. Why? Because God loves you. He created you. He created you to worship Him and praise Him and to give Him glory and honor. Hallelujah. And so, my friends, I'm going to ask now that you would bow your heart and your head by faith and ask Him to come into your life. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Someone just got saved. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down below. That's our website banner. Our email's on there. Reach out to us. That's right. Reach out to us. And we want to put a Bible in your hand and lead you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And I also want to give just a great big thank you and shout out to all those over the years and currently now who have contributed and who have blessed our ministry financially. We are so mighty, mighty thankful. I'm here to let you know down below, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, just a reminder that this Sunday, we will be canceling, just this Sunday only, we'll be canceling the healing rooms and the potluck fellowship, so that we would have time to worship and we would time to learn the Feast of Trumpet, because it is a lengthy message and we don't want to run into the other times that are allotted to us. And that same evening, many of us are going to be going out to Maranatha Chapel. Starting at 4:30, they're serving a dinner, they're going to have worship, and then they're going to have a service regarding the Feast of Trumpets as well. And we get to blow our shofars. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to what God is doing in the midst of His people. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, thank you for joining us tonight. We hope that you got a lot out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 through to 26. We'll be starting chapter 6 when I get back from my vacation. I won't be teaching next Wednesday on midweek, but when I get back, praise God, praise God. Listen. Be blessed and know that God is with us. Amen. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you this Sunday. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, May God bless you, and thank you for listening.